And as we now proceed into our time of study of God's Word, this morning we would like to spend some time studying about the way that we should use the blessings that God has given to us. And He has richly blessed us all. And we're told in James chapter 1 and verse 17 that every good and every perfect gift comes from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. So God doesn't change. He's good to us all at all times, and He has blessed us all so richly, and everything that we have, every good thing that we have, has been given to us by our God. Now that's a foundation upon which the rest of this lesson and study is going to be built. But in Job chapter 38 and verse 41, we also can see that God very much loves all of His creation and takes care and provides the needs for everything that He has made. Job 38 and verse 41 says, "Who provides for the raven his food when his young ones cry unto God? They wander for lack of meat." But there he mentions even the ravens, the birds, their food is provided by God. So He's supplying the needs of the animals, of every living thing. When we turn to the New Testament, to Matthew chapter 10, and there Jesus speaks words also about God's care for all of His creation, including the birds, but then how precious we are and more valuable in God's sight, those that He has made in God's image, which is us, compared to anything else. Matthew chapter 10, 29 through 31, "Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear you not, therefore, you're of more value than many sparrows." Well, if God cares for the animals and everything that He's made and has provided all the needs for them, how much more for us? And we know that God has indeed blessed us all with everything. And we have a promise of God, one of those great and precious promises in the same book of Matthew in chapter 6, 31 to 34. He says, "Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." Do we need to be burdened with a worry and care for the things that we need in our lives, whether our food, drink, and clothes, those basic necessities? And I know that certainly right now the economy's not doing great, and we're very thankful if we have a job. But no matter how bad times are, is God going to let us starve as His servants? If we're seeking Him first, His kingdom and righteousness, He said He's going to take care of us. We don't have to worry about that. It doesn't mean we're going to have lots, but we'll have what we need to live. God will be sure to take care of that, promises that, in fact. And when we turn to Philippians chapter 4, and verse 19, He says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Whatever it is that we need, God is going to supply that. Whether that's our physical needs or our spiritual needs, God is going to provide all those things. So He's given us blessings in so many ways. Ephesians 1 and verse 3 says that we have all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. So we have much to be thankful for to our God. But what's one of the best ways that we can demonstrate that we're thankful to God for all that He gives to us? And wouldn't that be to keep His commandment for us to be holy, to be separate for Him, so that everything He gives to us we're using according to His purpose? And that would show our God that we're thankful indeed for all that He's blessed us with, to use those blessings in His service as He has determined that they should be used. Now to do that, we have to understand the principle of ownership and stewardship. Psalm 24 verses 1 and 2 reminds us that everything was made by God and therefore belongs to God. And we could turn to lots of passages to see this principle taught, but this is one where it is very clear. "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For He hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods." Now, what in this world, in this universe, does not belong to God? It's all His, everything. And how is that so? It says, because He made it. So God is the creator of all things, and everything does ultimately belong to Him. Which means then, all the blessings God has given to us, do we truly own all those things? And we can look at ourselves, whatever we possess, our very lives, the time that we have, the possessions that we have, the talents or abilities that we have, opportunities that we have. Are those things our own, and did we do all of that? Or is it all from God, and does it all ultimately belong to Him? And so in that respect, then, what are we in this life but stewards? See, God has given certain things into our hands, and then we're responsible before Him to use what He's given as good and faithful stewards. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2 says, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. So that's what we all are, stewards over the things that God has blessed us with. So to use our blessings in the right way, then we have to use them as good and faithful stewards. That's the requirement of a steward, that he be found faithful. Now verse 7 here in this passage asks, for who has made you to differ from another? What do you have that you did not receive? Now if you did receive it, why do you glory as if you had not received it? And that word glory is to boast. Do we have anything to brag about? Whatever we have or something we can do? If we're boasting about it, then really aren't we saying that's me, I did that, I gave that to myself, or I did this all on my own? And what can we say that we, anything that we have, that wasn't God, that was me? Anything that we have came from Him. We're stewards. Now we have to be faithful as stewards, but what cause do we have to boast about anything as if we didn't receive everything that we have? There's not a thing that we can name that we possess, whether it's material possessions, whether it's starting with our own lives, the breath that's in our body, and the time that God gives us, anything, everything. We received it all, and it's been given to us by God. And so we need to use that as good stewards, use what He has given to us and put in our hands as faithful stewards over those things, and use it in God's way. Let's consider a couple of examples not to follow. We'll see some examples of poor stewardship. Esau in Genesis chapter 25, verses 29 through 34. This tells about Esau selling his birthright. Genesis 25, 29 to 34. It says, Jacob sold pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray you, with that same red pottage, for I am faint. Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright. And Esau said, behold, I am at the point to die. What profit shall this birthright do to me? And Jacob said, swear to me this day. And he swore to him, and he sold his birthright to Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. Now in this passage, what did Esau possess that he was to be a steward of? Well, his birthright. That was a position that he had by birth, given to him by God. And so that came with it certain blessings and privileges, responsibility. Now, was Esau a good steward over that position that God had given him? He sold it off for some food. So what did he think of what God had given to him? Was it really his right to sell that? It really wasn't. This was something God had, a position that God gave him. It was his responsibility to use that blessing in the way to serve God, and to sell it off was certainly an example of poor stewardship, and showed that that word despise means to count as nothing. He really did not appreciate that blessing. He counted it as nothing so that he would just sell for food. And God did not appreciate the way he used that blessing. And he mentions it also in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 16 and 17, where he reminds us of that example and tells us not to follow that. Hebrews 12, 16 and 17. Well, we'll go back to verse 15 to 17. He says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root or bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled, lest there be any fornicator or profane person, as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. Now that adds information that we don't have from where we finished in Genesis 25. But what came later? The regret. Esau later was very sorry, because when the privileges would come for his position, the blessings that would come with it that God would provide, he wanted those things, but he didn't get it. And he begged with tears to be able to have his birthright back. He wanted it back. But once he had sold it, was that something he could get back? His misuse of what God had blessed him, his misuse of that blessing, was not something he had another chance to do right. He did not have the opportunity to go back and be a good steward over that again. He had his opportunity, and he forsook it because he despised it, and it was taken away from him, and it was given to somebody else. And we don't want that to happen to us. We do not want to be guilty of despising the blessings God has given to us by not using it properly. And we can see many ways. We can look at certain positions that we all have in our lives. And we all have them in our families, in our jobs, in the church, in many ways. We've all been given a certain position with certain abilities, opportunities. And we need to show our appreciation to God for those things. And our acknowledgement that He is indeed our Creator and owner by using what He's given us in a proper manner in God's way. Now, Israel, the nation of Israel, is another example of poor stewardship. And we could easily fill the next 12 minutes, 15 minutes that we have, and way beyond, just looking at examples of the nation of Israel and how they were poor stewards over things that God gave them. But if we turn to chapter 16 of the book of Ezekiel, and look at verses 17 through 21. God mentions what they had done, or how they had misused the blessings He'd given them. And also is very clear in this passage about how all of these things did belong to God. They were misusing what ultimately belonged to God. So they were unfaithful stewards. He says, thou hast also taken thy fair jewels of my gold and of my silver, which I had given thee, and made to yourself images of men, and did commit whoredom with them, and took your embroidered garments and covered them, and you have set my oil and my incense before them, my meat also which I gave thee, fine flour and oil and honey wherewith I fed thee. Thou hast even set it before them for a sweet savor, and thus it was, saith the Lord God. Moreover, thou hast taken thy sons and thy daughters whom thou hast borne unto me, and these have you sacrificed to them, unto them to be devoured. Is this of thy whoredoms a small matter, that you have slain my children and delivered them to cause them to pass through the fire for them? So here are the various ways in which they were practicing idolatry. But as part of that, they were giving their food and drink offerings to the idols. But what does God say about the food and drink they had? Who did it belong to, and who had given it to them? It was God's. Was it to be used in this manner? No, that was wrong. They were not being faithful stewards of what God had given to them. They were misusing those blessings and using it in an evil manner. And then about their children. Well, Esau had a position as the firstborn with the birthright. How many of us have a position in this life as parents over children that God has given to us? And if we think, well, they're our children, what does God say about them in verse 21? He says, you've killed my children, God said. You took those children I put into your hands, and here's what you did with them and their lives. And how many times do we see parents that really are despising that position, that blessing God has given them to provide children for them, by not using that opportunity and that position He's given to them, those blessings, to diligently seek to be used by God to train up their children in the way that they should go, as He says in Proverbs 22, verse 6. Or in Ephesians 6:4, bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That's being a good steward. Well, we need to think about that, because we've all been given these blessings by God, and we want to not despise them or misuse them, because these are blessings from God, and we need to serve Him faithfully with all that we have. Abraham in Genesis chapter 18 and verse 19 is an example of a good and a faithful steward. And this relates particularly to how he used the children God had given to him. So he's the opposite of what we were seeing in Ezekiel 16 verse 21. Genesis 18, 19, God said, "For I know him," speaking of Abraham, "for I know him that he will command his children and his household after him, and they will keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him." God said, "I know him. I know what he's going to do with these children I've given him. I know he's going to be a faithful steward over these things. He is going to be faithful in all that he does." Well, that was Abraham and still is. And so we see his example as a good steward. And he had a position as a father and the head of his family. And how did he use that? Well, he served God and used that position in the way that God intended to serve him fully. And the Apostle Paul in the New Testament, another good example of a faithful steward. Paul as an apostle certainly had a position of authority and responsibility. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 8, he says, "For though I should boast somewhat more of our authority, which the Lord has given us for edification and not for your destruction, I should not be ashamed." God had given him his authority and position as a way or as a means to be able to edify God's children, his fellow Christians. He was not going to misuse that authority for destruction of God's people. See, he was a steward over his position that God had given him as an apostle of Christ, as a prophet of the Lord, and he did not misuse that. He was using that position in the way that God intended for it to be used, fully to serve him and not his own way, and not for a way in which it was going to be destructive, but it was going to be to the edification of God's people. Chapter 12, 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 19. Paul said, "Again, think ye that we excuse ourselves to you? We speak before God in Christ, but we do all things, dearly beloved, for your edifying." Well, we have positions as God's servants in his church, and we need to use that, whatever that is, for the same way. God intends for us, to all of us, to build each other up. And the opportunities that we have and whatever position that we're in to be able to do that, we need to use that blessing that we've been given to have a good influence on each other. Hebrews 10 verse 24, we need to consider one another to provoke to love and to good works. We're supposed to be helping each other and trying to help one another to grow in Christ. And that would be the proper use of the blessing that we have as being a part of the body of Christ. And that moves us to a very important point about using the blessings that God has given to us. What is one of the chief ways that we are to serve God? Isn't it by serving one another, especially by serving God's children, his family that we're a part of when we're in Christ? Well, in Matthew chapter 20, 25 through 28, our Lord tells us to be great in his kingdom. We need to be servants of one another. Matthew chapter 20, 25 through 28, Jesus called them unto him and said, "You know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them, but it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister, and whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many." So how many things has God given to us that we can use for him by serving our fellow Christians? That's what we need to do. That's how we'll be great in the kingdom of God. In chapter 25 of the book of Matthew, in the parable of the talents, which is given right before verse 31, he describes ones that he's given certain money into their hands, and two of them used their things wisely and rightly. One did not, and we'll look at that one who did not in a little bit more detail in just a moment, so keep your mark here. But right after that, in verse 31, it speaks about the coming of the day of judgment, when the sheep will be separated from the goats, verses 31 and 32. The sheep on his right hand, the goats on the left, verse 33. And then verse 34, "Then will the king say to them on his right hand, Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was a hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? Or when saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say to them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you've done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you've done it unto me. The goats, he's going to show, didn't do that. And he'll say in verse 45, Inasmuch as you did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not unto me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. How much of our judgment is going to be based in how we've used the blessings God has given to us and whether we've served his children with them or not? I mean, that's what he's really describing here in Matthew chapter 25. How many of the things does he describe there are blessings that God has put into our hands that we can use to help our brothers or sisters who are in need in some way? And these are talking about physical needs there primarily, but of course we have that whole realm of the spiritual needs that are also addressed in Scripture and talked about, and we saw a little bit of concerning Paul and how he edified his brethren. So we need to think about that and how we can serve one another by using the blessings that God has given to us. The Corinthians did this, or the Macedonians in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. He talks about the church at Macedonia, or the churches of Macedonia, and that would include Thessalonica and Philippi and Berea, those places. The brethren there in Macedonia were very diligent to use what God had given to them to help others, because they had some brethren who were in need, brethren they didn't even know, who were in the area of Judea and Jerusalem, far away from where they were geographically, and so they didn't even know the people, but they knew about them and their need, and they wanted to take part in helping their brothers and sisters in Christ who were in need, even though they didn't have much themselves. Starting in verse 1 of 2 Corinthians 8, it says, Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded under the riches of their liberality. So here they were giving from their own poverty. They didn't have much, but what they had, they wanted to give it. And it says in verse 3, For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty. So who was begging whom? Was Paul begging, now come on, you need to give more? No, they were saying, take what we have. And he was reluctant to do so because he knew they didn't have much. That we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering of the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Insomuch that we desired Titus that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Therefore, as you abound in everything, in faith, in utterance, in knowledge, and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also. So he was using their good example to encourage the Corinthian brethren to do the same thing, and to take their part in helping with their brethren who were in need. Verses 12 through 15 here in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. It says, For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. For I mean not that other men be eased and ye burden, but by inequality, that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, and their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there may be equality. As it is written, He has gathered much, he that had gathered much had nothing over, and he that had gathered little had no lack. But thanks be to God, which put the same earnest care into the heart of Titus for you. He quotes Exodus 16 verse 18 there, concerning the gathering of the manna. And there were those who were able to gather more. And there would be certain that physically and for other reasons would not be able to gather as much. But the ones who were able to gather more distributed to those who had did not have enough. And so the ones who were in need were supplied by that. Well, he uses that as an example here to guide us. And we're not going to be judged by God, as he says here, according to what we don't have, but according to what we do have, what he has blessed us with. He's not going to hold us accountable for being a steward over something he didn't give us, but he has given us all much, and what we do have, we need to be faithful and good stewards and use that in God's service as we should. The household of Stephanus did that, and they were singled out here in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 15 and 16. So these were members there of the church there at Corinth. They were called the first fruits of Achaia, that province or region where Corinth was. And he says, I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanus, that is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints, that you submit yourselves unto such, and to everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth. What an example they were. They were had addicted themselves to serving the saints, their fellow Christians. And that's what they spent all their time and their things and how they used them as good stewards. And we're told to follow that example there. We need to be like that ourselves. 1 Peter chapter 4, 8 through 10. We'll see it parallels this in these instructions from the Lord to us all. 1 Peter 4, 8 through 10. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. For charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man has received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And that phrase, grace of God, he's doing us a favor, literally. That's what the word grace means. He's showing us his favor to give us things that we can then use to serve others with. And so we don't need to look be grudging about it. Well, I now have to use my things to help somebody else. This is mine. No, we don't want to think like that. We need to look at it the way he describes it there, that God has given us a favor by providing that blessing in our hands that we can then use to serve others with. And that needs to be our mind. And he says we need to take what he's given and use that out of love to serve one another. And then we'll be using our blessings that God has given us in the right way. We need to be faithful and diligent in this always. In Proverbs chapter 6, verses 18, or Proverbs 6, Proverbs 18 and verse 9. Chapter 6 also speaks about this. We don't have time to go there right now. But anyway, Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 9. He says, He also that is slothful in his work is brother to him that is a great waster. We don't want to be slothful. We don't want to be lazy. And we don't want to not use what God has given to us and waste the things that God has provided into our hands. We mentioned that parable of the talents, and there was the one talent man that he describes in Matthew 25, verses 24 through 30. He was given one talent, and what did he do with it? Well, it says, then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew you that you are a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not strewed, and I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. Here's what you gave me. Here's yours. But he just took it and buried it in the ground. Did he use what God had blessed him with? No, the other two had, but he had not. And his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I sowed not and gather where I have not strewed. Thou oughtest therefore to put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. We don't want to all end up like Esau, where things that God has entrusted to our care that we've despised ends up being taken from us and given to somebody else who's going to use it for the Lord like they should. We want to take what God has given and serve him diligently with, not being slothful, because the Lord's not going to appreciate that. Romans chapter 12 and verse 11 gives us a straight out commandment on this. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. So we need to do everything heartily to the Lord, as he tells us in Colossians 3 and verse 23. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 10 through 12. Hebrews 6, 10 through 12 says, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you've showed toward his name, and that you've ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. If we're diligent, is God going to forget what we've done for him? Is he going to forget the way that we've used the blessings he's given to us as good stewards and faithful stewards and diligent in serving him? He's not going to forget that. He's going to reward us for all of that in eternity. So we have a great opportunity to use so many things that God has provided. We don't want to misuse anything. We don't want to misuse our bodies. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 15, he speaks about this subject of our own physical bodies and how we use them. In verse 15 he says, know you not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? God forbid. And then verse 18 says, flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. Verse 20 says, for you're bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We need to use our body in a right way. We can't take our physical body that God has given to us and use it for our own pleasure, instead of using our physical bodies and abilities in the way that God has intended for us to use them in His service. Our tongues are not just to be used any way we want to use them. James chapter 3, 8 through 10 points out the difficulty of bridling our tongues. But he tells us there that the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Earlier this morning in our class, we read from Ephesians 4 and verse 29, where he says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. We need to use our tongues for the Lord, not both for good and bad, only for good. What is good to the use of edifying. And we need to take the tongues God has given to us and the opportunity to speak words and make sure we're speaking our words rightly and using our tongues in the right way. And our time, 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Says, forasmuch then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he should no longer live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. The rest of our time, that precious time that we have, our life is but a vapor. We have such a small amount of time to use, to spend in this life, serving God. And we need to take every moment of it and use it in the right way. The rest of our time in the flesh, he says, should be spent doing the will of God. So whether it's our bodies, our tongues, our food, drink, and clothes, the possessions we have, our time, our money, all things, it needs to be used to serve our Lord. Romans chapter 12, verses 3 through 8, we'll read quickly here as we're closing. Romans 12, 3 through 8, it's a good summary of all of this. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teaches on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. So he mentions different ways in which we may be blessed by God. But whatever talents and opportunities we have, the point is we need to use it and serve God with it as members of his body and do so diligently and faithfully. In the end, Luke 16 and verse 10 tells us that if we've been faithful in that which is least, we're going to be faithful in much. And that's the principle we're going to be judged as stewards by. God has prepared eternity for us and has many things, great things to give us to use for Him and service then forever and ever. If we show ourselves worthy in this life by being faithful in these things that He's given us now, and we need to use our blessings that God has given to us to glorify Him, being diligent and faithful as His stewards. And we want to take the opportunity now this morning to provide an opportunity to everyone that is here that needs to respond to the Lord's invitation to do so. If you're not yet a Christian and you need to repent of your sins and confess your faith in Christ before men and be baptized into water for the remission of those sins, you have the opportunity to obey those commandments God has given to us all. And we're encouraging you to do that now if you have need, or if you're a member of the body of Christ and need to repent of sin and need to come back to the Lord, we're encouraging you also to come now. So if anyone here needs to come, please do so while we stand and sing.